Now that you've taken the opportunity to come here this night, I hope and pray that you take the opportunity to pay attention, to listen to the words which our brother will deliver unto us that the Lord has placed upon his heart, that you might be fed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I give to you our brother and our pastor, Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Brian. Well, I'm told that this battery may or may not last. I'm not too concerned about the battery as much as my own strength. For some reason, I just feel weak. And I'd appreciate your prayers. I'd like to wish each one of you a Happy New Year, being the first service of the new year. For some time now, I've been contemplating the new year and the meetings that we're going to have as a local, and it's been a burden on my heart, I'd have to admit. It's been, I've been kind of like what Jay has been accused of in the Mozone of my own, and my wife can attest that I haven't been myself, because I've been doing a lot of thinking and praying and just thinking about the things that are coming up this new year. One of the things that was on my mind, I've been in my daily readings, as the different ones testified this morning in our service, different ones, taking the time to read the gospel in the morning, that they might be strengthened and consider the word of God and being fed on a daily basis. I myself have been doing that, and in my readings, I've been reading in the Book of Mormon, and more specifically, the time period of the difficulties that took place between what you find in 2 Nephi and then the handoff of the scriptures from the one generation to the other till you get into the Book of Jacob and then in Mosiah. And there's a lot of things in there that that I think about that I would like for us to consider, as well as I saw that there was some abject lessons that we need to maybe think about. One was the diligence of those who were given the responsibility in keeping those records as they was handed off from one generation to the other. There was a very it was a very important job that they accepted as it was handed off to them. And as you see in Omni and the different ones there, that there was, in some cases, just maybe a paragraph or two that was added to the record. And nothing more than that was added. And which was kind of interesting. There's probably two things. One, you find that they didn't feel worthy to write much more than what they did. And then the other thing you found, that as you read, that there wasn't much room on the plates. And so they considered the things that took place at the time and then said that everything had already been said. And so that's kind of how they ended their record. But we know that it was for a wise purpose, because we have them in our hands today. And it's important that we are able to use those words, those things that were given to us, that we might pass them on to our posterity, to our young children, and for the same purpose, that they might have that heritage as we have espoused it ourselves. Brother Brian, I'm told, preached a sermon about responsibility, and some of that I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm going to first start with the ministry. I look at myself. I look at those leaders at those times, and I think about the responsibilities that they took upon themselves, and it was a very they took it very seriously, and they worked very hard. One of the things I want to start off with, we can find it's in Jacob in the third chapter. Here we find right after the words of Zenos. And we're going to be over here in, it's right towards the conclusion of Zenos. It's in the third chapter on page 186. It'll be, start with verse 136. And it says, "And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servants his servant. And the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him and brought other servants, and they were few. And you all, I know Brother Don and different ones have preached sermons to help you to understand the book of Zenos and this and these and the prophecy here. And we all look at this as our day and time. That those of us who have been called into the ministry, that those are the ones that is spoken of here in that prophecy of Zenos, that there were going to be few in these last days. But the one nice thing about it is that it said the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded and brought other servants. And so there's a promise that comes with it that he was going to be with those that he chose. So as you continue on in verse 137 through 138, you find that it says, and the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. Now you notice it says it's plural, mites. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard, for the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. Now if you remember correctly, when you read in the New Testament, you find that Christ had to, he fought against it, and so also the apostles afterwards, that they came to, they thought that the end was nigh, and that within their generation, the Lord was going to return after his death, and the Lord warned them that that wasn't going to be the case, and the apostle Paul, and different ones you can see in there, that told them that there had to be an apostasy that had to occur, so telling them that don't think that that's going to be that soon at that time, but now, as we read this in time, how many hundreds, a couple thousand years have gone by, those words are true now. We live in the day that is fast approaching. The 11th hour, the last 5 minutes of midnight, as we've had different ones testify of dreams and visions that they've had, we live in that time where the Lord is going to soon return. And that there's a work that has to be done within the vineyard. And he used the word that they'd work with their mites. Now, there are some critics of the Book of Mormon that they use that to try and use against us in those of us who believe in the Book of Mormon. But that word mites wasn't, it was part of the English literature, and it was clear back in the 1300s. They used that word. And it's a force or power of any kind, whether a body or mind or energy or intensity of purpose, feeling or action, means of resources to affect an object, strength, force, power, ability, capacity. And so it was emphasized here in this record that they were going to work with all their mights. With everything they had, with everything that was available to them, they were going to do that in the vineyard because it was required of them. The Lord required it of them. And, and I thought about that. I thought about it a lot as I was contemplating the standing before you tonight. And there was a person that came to my mind that would exemplify that servant that is spoken of here. Someone who worked with all his might. And I would say mites. And those of you that read the Advocate and look at it, and those of you that remember, there was a man, it was called Roger Kahn, who passed away in 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And I believe from what I read and what I know of him, he worked with his might. It says, I have known of no harder worker for the gospel than Roger and his wife. They have visited a dozen villages throughout Yucatan and in the state of Campeche. Roger had an old car, and they carried him and his wife someplace every day. Upon his death, he was the pastor of 5 congregations. One of them was visited each day of the week. And Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays found them holding services with at least 2 congregations. After the service was opened with songs and prayer, Roger would preach to the adults while his wife, Goomer, took all the children elsewhere for a Sunday school class. I will have to admit that her congregation was usually threefold that of Brother Rogers. After the service, as all visited, Goomer would serve a meal which she had prepared at home and brought with them. Every gringo from the States who has enjoyed a visit with the saints in Mexico is a witness to the fact that they have met no more loving and hospitable people than Goomer, Cinda, and Roger Kahn. Said he was an elder of the church. He was ordained in 1955. In the last 25 years, he worked that way with all his might. It puts me to shame as an elder. He was a pastor of five locals. You know, I can't imagine working that hard. I truly can't. Every day he was on the road doing something for the Lord. You know, I asked Brother Jay, I said, when you see this picture, what do you think? What do you see? You know, when I look at it, I see charity. I see the image of Christ in this servant. Not to hold up the arm of flesh, but truly, he did have the gift of charity. You'd have to have that kind of a schedule, that desire to serve, to endeavor to make sure that that fruit that the Lord is requiring of the servants in these last days, that it would be a harvest to the Lord. It's in Jacob in the third chapter, verse 139, it says, "And if you labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy." I have no doubt that Roger Kahn, when he left this world and he stood before his maker, there was joy as to those things that he testified of others that he was able now to behold firsthand. "You shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come." Verse 140, "And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mites, and the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord of the vineyard in all things." And the purpose behind the laboring is that the body would bear fruit. Verse 144, "And they became like unto one body, and the fruit were equal. And the Lord of the vineyard had preserved unto himself the natural fruit, which was most precious unto him from the beginning." The work, the responsibility of the servants in these last days, the things that Brother Jay spoke of this morning, is spoken of here, the wild branches and the being plucked off and the natural branches being brought back into the root and into the branches. That's what's going on today in that work as the Lord called Brian and Jay and different ones to, as he saw fit, to work in that field, that fruit might be there, that we might have one body. And it's no different than the work that is required even here amongst us. Those of us who have accepted the calling of the Lord, that we might become a part of that body, adopted heirs, as we're told in the scripture. Become that natural fruit that is going to be glorious in the eyes of our God. In the book of Jacob, in the first chapter, there's the account of Jacob here in verses 18 through 20. That's on page 168. He makes a statement. He says, "For I, Jacob, and my brother Joseph had been consecrated priests and teachers of this people by the hand of Nephi. And we did magnify our office unto the Lord, taking upon us the responsibility, answering the sins of the people upon our own heads, if we did not teach them the word of God with all diligence. Wherefore, by laboring with our mites," there's that word again, mites, "their blood might," a different kind of might, "not come upon our garments. Otherwise, their blood would come upon our garments, and we would not be found spotless at the last day." That clearly helps us to understand the magnitude of the responsibility that God has given some called into the ministry. And I think about the words of Christ that you can find in Matthew in the 25th chapter and Luke in the 19th chapter. The two are speaking of a same similar thing, one talents and one pounds, and the expectation from the Lord, where one was given five and two and one, and he wanted to see something from that he gave them. Same thing with the pounds. And there was one that there was no fruit. There was no gain from everything that he had given, even though he was given a little, but there was no gain, no fruit for the Lord, no fruit for the master. It was considered a servant not worthy of the calling. And that's what this is. I believe Jacob and them were talking about that it's very important for us as the servants of God to understand the role that we play, that we've accepted of God, to take up our cross and to work with our mites, do the work that the Lord has called us in these last days. The promises that were given unto the Gentiles, there's a purpose behind that in 1 Nephi in the third chapter. Let's see, we'll go over to verse 201. Speaking of our time. "And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God, and in that day he shall manifest himself unto them in word and also in power and very deed, unto taking away their stumbling blocks, and harden not their hearts against the Lamb of God, they shall be numbered among the seed of thy father. Yea, they shall be numbered among the house of Israel, and they shall be a blessed people upon the promised land forever." That's the promise to us, a blessed people on this land. But if they're not taught, like, we find I was reading in Jacob and in Mosiah where the different groups of people weren't taught correctly, like from the King Noah and his priests when they took over, they fell away. They weren't able to receive the blessings of God because of those teachings. The Lord wants one body. He wants that to be accomplished in us here in this local and within the Church of Christ. In Romans in the 12th chapter, speaking of one body, A very familiar scripture. It's read many times. But there's a part of it that I want to focus on that has to do with the thoughts that I'm bringing out this evening. In that 12th chapter, it begins with, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Those are the things that the servants of Christ need to be able to teach his children. What does that mean? How does that work within their lives? How can they be blessed by being transformed? What is it for them that they can receive of God? And how can that help them in their daily life? "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. For as we have many members in the body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." And that's the important thing for us to understand, that we all, even though there's different callings within the body of Christ, our first calling is unto repentance and becoming a member of this body through baptism. And then working the work that we have available to us to work, that this body might function. No different than when we read that the body has many members. Well, it is true. We have many members, and they all have a good function within that body. And it's up to us to ask God in faith what that is that I can do at this moment in time. What is it that you would have me to do that I might serve the body, that it might be functional for the well-being of the bride in these last days? In the book of Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, verse 27, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healings. And then there's a thing called helps and governments and diversities of tongues." Then it asks the question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, that's not true. Each one has their own function. The word helps here has to do with relief. It's a derivative of the word from the Greek. And it says to take hold of in turn, succor, or also to participate within the body. A partaker of the support. It's speaking of the body functioning as one. From the apostles down to the newest member of the body of Christ. It's important for you to understand that that is a properly functioning body before God. And as I said earlier, you know, when I was thinking about Brother Roger Kahn, and the word charity came to my mind. In the book of Corinthians, it's that very last, after it lists all those things about the body, at the very last verse, verse 31, in that 12th chapter, it says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Speaking of charity, I doubt very seriously if Brother Kahn would have made much of an impact or much was able to bring much fruit if it wasn't for that he had charity and that people could genuinely understand it and see it and feel it in the work that he did among those five locals and those who he serviced. That's one of the things that we have to all work on in our life. It does not come naturally to us. The scriptures tell me that it doesn't come naturally to you and I. We have to think upon it. We have to try it. We have to put it to work within our lives. All aspects of our lives. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In the 13th verse, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. In the Book of Mormon, in Moroni, in the 7th chapter, it says, wherefore cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. Sounds familiar? But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it in the last day, it shall be well with him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of the Son of Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. One of the things that had been on my mind was one of the things I read in the Book of Mosiah. You find in the history that of the kings, as they went from one king to the other, there was wicked kings and there was good kings. But in this particular succession, there was Mosiah, and then there was the King Benjamin. And then you find that it was then turned over to his son, Mosiah. And you found during the time of King Benjamin, he spoke to his children towards the end of towards the end of his life before he passed the reins off to his son Mosiah. He spoke of a revelation that he was given, that he was commanded of the Lord to give it to his people, and it was talked about Christ and the coming of Christ and the redemption that Christ would bring, and it was recorded, and all those things were taught among the children at that time. And then you find that there was a space of time where those little ones who were there at the time of King Benjamin, you know, 10 years or younger or whatever, that in the days of Mosiah, or King Mosiah, that they found that those little ones didn't have the benefit of the testimonies and the things that went on during the days of King Benjamin. And so it brings us to Mosiah in the 11th chapter. You can turn to that if you want, following that way. We'll start with verse 103 in the 11th chapter. And it came to pass that whosoever were desirous to take upon them the name of Christ or of God, They did join the churches of God. So we find that there was churches that were brought about. The Alma was the one who ordained priests and teachers at the time. He was the high priest. Alma, if you remember correctly in history, he was one of the priests of Noah. But he rejected those things when he heard Abinadi's testimony. And then he went to the waters of Mormon. He baptized people there. And then you find that he ultimately ended up over in Zarahemla, where we find King Mosiah at the time. And this is what he was doing. He was baptizing. He baptized Limhi and those who had a desire to be part of the Church of God. And it says, and the Lord did pour out his spirit upon them, and they were blessed and prospered in the land. Now it came to pass that there were many of the rising generation, and this is what's caught my eye, and I want you to think about this and maybe even underline it. Now it came to pass that there were many of the rising generation that could not understand the words of King Benjamin, being little children at the time he spake unto his people. And they did not believe the traditions of their fathers. They did not believe what had been said concerning the resurrection of the dead. Neither did they believe concerning the coming of Christ. And now because of their unbelief, they could not understand the word of God, and their hearts were hardened. Now that rising generation, you're only talking about 10 to 15, maybe at the most 20 years. It was really 10 to 15. So if they were around 10 years old, you know, they were in their teens to their 20s. That's what this is speaking of and the problem that existed. And it says, and they would not be baptized, neither would they join the church. And they were a separate people as to the faith, their faith, and remained so ever after, even in their carnal and sinful state. For they would not call upon the Lord their God. And now in the reign of Mosiah, they were not half so numerous. So it's telling you that there wasn't that many of them, but they were those that rejected it. And it was of the rising generation. Okay? But what's telling in all this is this next verse. But because of dissensions among the brethren, they became more numerous. Think about that. Think about that in the body of Christ and the effect that it has on the rising generation today. Because of dissensions among the brethren, they become more numerous. You know that. That was hard for me to take in. It's what I've been thinking about for several days now, these passages of Scripture. I took account of the people that normally come here. It's about 110 people on a regular basis. Maybe not in the evening, but in the morning services and stuff. 30-some of them are under the age of 18. And out of the 110, the 79 that are remaining, you know, a good portion of them are in that category of the rising generation. And I want you to look around about that rising generation. And what do you see? What are they struggling with? And why are they struggling with it? Could it be in part because of the dissension among the brethren? A word here, a word there. Well, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. What effect is that having on the rising generation of our time? Are we going to be the cause of them rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Bore hard on my heart as an elder and as pastor. It was hard for me to get over those words. It was hard for me to to be reconciled before my God. Because he expects fruit. And it's up to us that he's willing to work with us. But we're here to do that work. As I continued reading in Mosiah in the 13th chapter, we find King Mosiah was getting old. And he was ready to pass the kingdom over to his son and his sons. If you remember, King Mosiah and his sons, the sons of Mosiah, and the work that they did. But before they did that work, what did they do? They were part of that rising generation, wasn't it? They were part of that rising generation that was out to destroy the church. And it was through the prayers of his father that, and those that were there praying for those sons, that they received a great blessing at the hand of God. No different than when Paul was visited. And they repented. And became a mighty instrument in the hands of God. But you find that Mosiah, he was concerned about it, and then the sons, you know, the different sons said, no, we've got other things we're going to do. We're not going to take up this kingship. And then you find in there that he put a proposal before the people that maybe they would have judges, that it would be better. That he was concerned that maybe if they didn't do judges and they inserted a king, that maybe one of his sons might go back to their old ways, you know, might want to come back and get it. And then there would be a division. There would be a schism within the kingdom. So as he approached God, he was counseling that maybe they would have judges. And then as he was privately talking with them, and he wrote a letter to the people, he made a couple of comments that I thought was interesting. You can find it in the 13th chapter, starting with verse 47. That's on page 296. It says, "And many more things did King Mosiah write unto them, unfolding unto them all the trials and the troubles of a righteous king. Yea, all the travails of soul for their people, and also all the murmurings of the people to their king. And he explained it all unto them. And he told them that these things ought not to be, but that the burden should come upon all the people, that every man might bear his part." And that's the thing that I focused on right there. When I think about the body of Christ and those things that I brought forth already, that here, King Mosiah was making that very statement, you know. He was telling them, you know, you've brought me all these concerns and trials and all these kinds of things, but guess what? The body of Christ has many members. And so he was saying the kingdom is made up of many, many members, different functions and different things. And he says, but that the burden should come upon all the people, that every man might bear his part. And that's important for us to remember and to understand and to take to heart and to think about concerning that rising generation. That the Lord would work the works within this body, that his spirit would manifest itself from time to time, that they would have their own testimony of those things. That it wouldn't just have to be told to them, they would experience it themselves. And they would know of the truth, that it was of God. Why it would be important for them to believe what they believed. All this is coming to the point of, we're going to have elections. They're coming up. And, you know, I've got copies of all the different positions and who's in them now. I know we get in the habit, I've gotten in the habit, when we come to elections, you know, we just kind of fly through it sometimes. and maybe not giving it the thought that we really, really need to give it. And so I'm going to ask a favor of you. I've printed these out. I'm going to set them back there. I want you to take one copy per family, whatever. I want you to pray about it. And consider the different functions each one of these have. And how important it is to the body of Christ that they all function. That they're just not a name on here and we've done our job. I want us to consider the importance of each one of these jobs. These things that we said as a body, as a local, that we want and need. I'm going to print out the duties and the responsibilities that come with each one of those so that you can look at them and you can see what it is, what it entails, why as a body throughout the time that we've been a local, we've said, yeah, we want these things in our body. And there's a purpose behind it, that we might nourish the body, that the body could be cared for these the different things that we're responsible for, that each would share in that responsibility, as King Mosiah had said, to take their part, to be a functioning body in Christ. We have time to contemplate these different positions. And I ask of you that you would prayerfully consider each one. And if there's something that you feel that you have a talent, that you would like to honor God with that talent. Remember, I mentioned the talents that the Lord gave his servants, but he also gave each one of us things that we could do for God and for the body of Christ, that there might be fruit worthy of God in these last days. That we could truly be a functional body of Christ. So, I'm at the end of my sermon. These were the things that were on my heart. And as your pastor, I hope and pray that you take these things and consider them. And in your private prayers and meditation, seek the Lord in his will in your life as to how you can serve God and serve the body of Christ. May God be with you and with us all.